Book of Haggai tonight. Book of Haggai, if you've got a Bible like mine, it's on page 1443. The Book of Haggai, if it's not like mine, good luck, follows the Book of Zephaniah. Don't know where that is. I guess you get that little index in front of your Bible and begin looking. Book of Haggai, please, tonight. Chapter number 1. Book of Haggai. Chapter number 1. I want to read the first 11 verses of this chapter. Haggai chapter number 1, verse number 1 says, "In the second year of Darius the king, in the sixth month, in the first day of the month, came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet unto Zerubbabel the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua the son of Jozadak the high priest, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, saying, This people say, the time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, Is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste? Now therefore thus saith the Lord of hosts, Consider your ways. Ye have sown much, and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but you're not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, Consider your ways. Go up to the mountain and bring wood and build a house, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. Ye looked for much, and lo, it came to little, and when ye brought it home, I did blow upon it. Why, saith the Lord of hosts? Because of mine house that is waste. And ye run every man into his own house. Therefore the heaven over you is stayed from dew, and the earth is stayed from her fruit. And I called for a drought upon the land, and upon the mountains, upon the corn, upon the new wine, upon the oil, and upon that which the ground bringeth forth, and upon men, and upon cattle, and upon all the labor of the hands." Kind of reminds me of Matthew 6:33. He says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and what?" Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the privilege of the Word of God. I pray, O God, that we might learn valuable lesson from Your Word tonight. I pray, O God, for the power and the anointing of the Spirit of God to do that work. For without You, all is of no avail. We ask this in Jesus' name, whom we're so thankful that we can call upon God through. Amen. Because of their sin, Israel was taken into captivity. The time of the captivity was 70 years. At the end of that 70 years, we find that there were those who began to go back to the land. There are 7 books in the Bible that deal with this time. 3 of them are historical, the book of Esther, Ezra, and Nehemiah. 4 of them are prophetic. That's not counting the book of Chronicles and Kings that have history as well. But Daniel, Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi deal with this time. God used 2 men particularly, Haggai and Zechariah, to prophesy under the Jews in Jerusalem. And basically their comments were, you need to finish rebuilding the temple. In the book of Ezra, we find that it mentioned these in chapter number 5. It says in verse 1, "Then the prophets, Haggai the prophet and Zechariah the son of Iddo, prophesied unto the Jews that were in Judah and Jerusalem in the name of the God of Israel, even unto them." And then it says, "Then rose up Zerubbabel the son of Shealtiel and Jeshua the son of Jozadak, and began to build the house of God which is at Jerusalem, with them that were the prophets of God helping them." We find that they had begun to build the temple. But there were those who sought to stop that building. And through their persecution and through their combined efforts with the king at that time, we find that they ceased their building. But we find that Haggai comes on the scene and says, you need to get busy again. By the way, God has never promised to you and I that our labor would be easy. Matter of fact, I have found that normally our labor for God is not easy. If it was easy, everybody would be doing it, I guess. But that's not the way it is. History has shown us that working for the Lord can be very difficult. We find from history that many thousands have lost their lives just for the work of God. We find that Haggai comes on the scene, and we find in these few verses that we read that he has a message to them. I want us to stop and look at three things that he mentions, and then I'd like for us to really look at the remedy he gives to them tonight. First of all, we find that in his message, he charges them with conflict of interest. Conflict of interest. Notice what it says here. It says, the time has now come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. They say it's not come. And then he says, is it time for you to dwell in your sealed houses? He says, you've got other things that seem to be more important. You have these things that you make excuse for that you might accomplish when God's house lies desolate. Oftentimes, the excuses we make are surrounded by pious phrases. I think of Judas especially. In the book of John chapter 12 and verse number 5, we find the woman brings the anointing oil and pours it upon Jesus. She breaks the alabaster box, very expensive perfume, and pours it upon our Savior, anointing His body before His death for His very own. Judas says, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? You know, it's often, and I suppose most often, the words like those of Judas are about what they think others ought to be doing instead of what he should have been doing. And so we got our little pious thoughts and remarks, and we always look at what others ought to be doing. We find that, of course, one of the things that's mentioned in verse number 2 is that they had placed their time ahead of God's time, saying, hey, it's not come, but it's time for us to build our houses. We find in verse number 6 that basically they are saying that their needs are more important than the needs of God. You've sown much and bring in little. It says you drink, but you're not filled. You clothe you and so forth. We find in verse number 9 that speaks about really their pleasures. You look for much and lo, it came to little. And they placed these things ahead of God. But they had failed to recognize that God gives us our time. God gives us our needs. God gives us even our pleasures. Again, Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness and what? All these things shall be added unto you. He charged them with conflict of interest. I believe also in this message he calls them to consider their ways. God is telling them, hey, look at what is happening to you right now. See what's going on. It's not working out as you think it ought to be. He's telling them, hey, listen, the reason is because it's your fault. Their needs are not really being met because God is withholding the blessings. We find in verse number 6, says, ye earn wages, and they earn them to put into a bag with holes. Their expectations and their hopes, they're failing. Why? Because God is not allowing it to take place. And He is not blessing in it. They have left God's work, and He has left them to their own devices. The book of Proverbs, chapter number 1, verse number 30, said, they would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. And how often you and I, we get more interested in ourselves than we are in the work of God and how He ought to be first. Amen? He needs to be first. And whatever it is that is before us. And then we find that He commands them to build. He tells them to build and to do the work. He gives them a simple solution to their problems. And here's where I'd like for us to go and spend just a few more minutes tonight and then make some application. But notice with me verse number 8. He says, go up to the mountain. Think about that for a moment. Many things took place on the mountain, did they not? I think of Moses as he went up the mountain to meet with God. I think of Abraham as he takes his son up the mountain to sacrifice him to God. Joshua, and who's the other guy? He said, I want that mountain. It belongs to me. Caleb, all I think of is Gideon. And we find here, go up to the mountain. We'll make an application at a moment. Notice secondly, he says, and bring wood. Wood, it's the supplies that's needed in order to accomplish the job that is there. So he says, you need to go up the mountain. He said, then there is wood there. You need to bring that wood. And then he says, build the house. And then notice what he says. I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. Now think about this tonight. He said, consider your ways, go up the mountain, bring wood, and build the house, and I will take pleasure in it. And I will be glorified, saith the Lord. Go up the mountain. What was the purpose that they were to go up the mountain for? The purpose was that they might build a temple, to rebuild it. It had fallen into disrepair because they'd been taken into captivity because of their disobedience. And God says, go up the mountain. And they had the purpose, that was to what? Build that temple. The temple in the Old Testament was where God abode at. Now we know that God's much bigger than a temple, but that was where He met His people at. We come to the New Testament, we find some things have changed. No longer do you and I go to the temple to meet with God, but the Bible tells us that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit of God. You and I are that temple. And you and I, as we get into sin and get away from God on different occasions, what takes place? The old temple gets into disarray, doesn't it? And so it needs to be rebuilt. And what does God say? He says, go up the mountain. And I think about that little statement, and my application I'd like for us to consider tonight as we go up that mountain is, go meet with God. Before we can do anything else in this life, we need to meet with God. We need to talk to Him. We need to allow Him to speak to us. We need that meeting with God. I fear tonight that we get so busy, we fail the most important thing. You see, if we don't meet with God, we don't go up the mountain, we can't bring the wood back. If we're going to build, we need the materials to build with. And so, as we meet with God, we get the building materials, so to speak. Not necessarily wood of itself, but it's representative of what is needed in our lives. I think tonight, if we're going to rebuild our life, there are some things that are very much needed. One of those we could say is the Word of God. We need the Bible, amen? If you and I are going to rebuild the temple, we need that which to build it with. And so we need the instruction book. We need the blueprint. We need that which tells us all the instructions on how to do it. It's the wondrous Word of God. We also need the Spirit of God, do we not? We need Him to lead us and direct us and to show us through all of those things that we might be able to accomplish it. I wonder tonight, there's probably a few. How many can read blueprints? There's a few of you. How many know what I'm talking about? All righty. Blueprints are simply a map of a building. And it's just simply on paper what is, you know, hopefully going to be made, or whatever it is. It might not be necessarily be a building. And many by your own admission tonight, you can't read it. You would need somebody like a Rich. You need a, I'm going to call him Tommy, I'm sorry here. That's what his jacket says. And Anyways, you need somebody to do that. Nate, I think, actually draws these things. Do you still do that? You don't do it? You look at them every day. Okay, you know how to read them. And so there's certain things on there. And you and I, we need what? The supervision of the Holy Spirit of God as we come to those blueprints. But there are many other things that you and I need in our lives in order to what? Have our lives built. Isn't that not true? By the way, if we're going to have our lives built in the Lord, here's something we don't sometimes think about. But the Bible tells us that we are built together a holy habitation. You know what he's talking about? Brethren. Brethren. Yeah. We need each other. You say, boy, you just don't understand the Christians I know. They're just not really very perfect. You just don't understand either. The Christians I know are not very perfect either, including you. Oh, and then you don't understand this either. I'm not very perfect either. You know, we're flawed people. Isn't that true? And you and I, we can't even hold ourselves together. Only God can do that. He's the mortar. Amen. But we need each other so desperately in this. And so as we're bringing that wood, he's talking to a group of people. It's not just individuals. Okay? And so we must have each other. Fellowship becomes very important. By the way, fellowship is not talking about the weather. It's not talking about so many things that we often talk about. It's really allowing the Lord to speak in our hearts through each other. And talking about spiritual things. We ought to do that more. Amen? The big topic tonight with a lot of folks, I haven't even mentioned it all day, I haven't even thought about it, is this thing called the Super Bowl. I'm going to preach tonight until about 9 o'clock. Just for those folks who hate the Super Bowl, so you can say, yeah, can't do that. But seriously, I mean, we have things that we can talk about, amen, that are non-essential. It's tonight's Super Bowl? Oh, okay. Some folks sitting here looking like they're puzzled. And I thought it was. But we need each other in these things. Isn't that true? So we go up the mountain. We're to meet with God, but we're to bring the wood. There are things that are essential in our lives if we're going to accomplish a building project. Amen? A lot of materials. In this particular building, you go down the basement, you're going to find cement. You're going to find blocks down there. You're going to find steel down there. You're going to find wood. Okay? You come up in this room and you're going to find wiring up above. You're going to find conduit up there, which is made out of steel. You're going to find itchy insulation up there. Pull a hole in that ceiling up there, and you have all this stuff come raining down upon you. You need to turn to this stuff. You got all these elements to build a building. And they had elements to build that building. He said, go up the mountain, and I'm saying, meet with God. Get all the materials that are needed. Get those things. By the way, that's not easy work. That's hard work. I was talking to Rachel before class, and Brandon's down in college, and college is a little bit difficult for Brandon, and schooling is not, that's not an easy thing for him. And so class is a little bit difficult, and it's not easy work. It's just the way it is. It comes difficultly. By the way, I'm going to tell you this. The men that were what I would call most successful in the ministry were just like Brandon. The guys it was easy for, when it got a little tough, they were gone. And so God takes us through those kinds of things. Amen? So we have this. We have these materials we've got to do. And then what does he say? Go build. Go build. And then you and I have to start putting those things into practice. Taking those elements and start using them. Many times as God's people, we get the education, we meet with God, but then we get lazy and we don't do anything. By the way, you know there's lots of areas in life where you can serve the Lord. Yeah. By the way, tomorrow you're going to go to your jobs. Do you know you ought to be doing that job as unto the Lord? Do you know that is as spiritual as my job? Seriously. That's what my Bible tells me in the book of Colossians. We're to do it heartily as to who? The Lord. Amen. And so we've got that. The kids that go to school. Heartily as to who? The Lord. That'll change your attitude about school. But we've got to do those things. We've got to put it into practice. And so there cannot be the laziness involved that we so often have. God wants us to what? Go up the mountain, meet with Him. God wants us to what? Find the materials that are needed to build in our lives and then build the house. I think of the scripture in Philippians 2. He says, "Wherefore, my beloved, as you've always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence," he says, "work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure." Work out your own salvation. Build the house. Take what God has given you and use it in that process that you might build that house. Amen? And build those rooms. Build that which is necessary for the work of God. What was the problem? The problem was they decided it's too hard. They had looked at those who dictated and said, "You can't do it anymore." And they listened. Peter said we ought to obey God rather than man. And they were going to keep on preaching. These folks, they quit. And so what does he say? Consider your ways. You're not being blessed because you're not putting me first in your life. So he says, go up to the mountain. I say to you, get alone with God. Allow that time with Him. Take that time. And speak with Him and allow His Word to speak to you. Gather those materials that are needed for the building of your house. And those can be so varied in so many different things. And we mentioned just a couple, but fellowship, of course, with other Christians and the Spirit of God as we allow Him to become the hammer that beats on the nail to hold it all together. And as God takes those things, then work it out. Use it day after day. Take it and let God do some things in your life. How many of you are shy? I mean, just admit it, you're shy. My hand's up. How many of you say, "Preacher, it's a little difficult for me to meet new people." Somebody on the street, just walk up and say, "Hi, my name is," and do that. How many have a problem with that? I mean, just be honest. I mean, really, okay. Really, that's most of you. I'm in that spot. I heard this many years ago. We were taught, pray. We were taught, read our Bible. We were taught, we have a job to accomplish. We were taught, go talk to people about Jesus. And the thought of that petrified me. Here I was with this paranoia. But I knew I had to because it was a rule in school. And so I remember first time I ever went on a visitation. It was hilarious. I was too proud to say I need somebody to go with and teach me how to do it. And I went out and I remember going to the first house. I didn't know what to say. Knocked on the door and I was scared to death. They came. Nobody came to the door. I'll take that back. Nobody came. I was so excited. Oh, good. I go to the next door, knock on the door. It's like when you have a speech to do in class and they don't call on you. And you think, "Oh, man, I got by with that one day." Well, if I'd have done it that day, I wouldn't have to go through that misery the next time I had class. And so I went to the next door, and that happened three or four times. And finally, somebody came to the door, and they recognized what I was doing, and they were Christians. And so they commended me, and I, oh, that's nice, you know. But I still didn't know what to say. I went to the next door, and they came to the door, and here now, this is the opportunity, you know. And I said, I come in the name of the Lord. And the door came at me in the name of the devil. Wrong approach. And I learned within two or three houses, you know, I ought to just tell them who I am, what I'm out there doing, you know. And that's what I did. But I found out something. You know, when we have that fear, and God says in the Spirit of God, you know, He will embolden us. I never got the boldness until I needed it. Up until the last moment, it was not there. Knocking on the door, going to those three or four houses, I was scared. Now, it was stupid to say, I come in the name of the Lord, but I wasn't scared all of a sudden. You know what I'm trying to say? That's the build the house. You got the materials. Start using them for the glory of God. Start using them. And too often we get shy and we think, well, it won't work and I won't be a success and people will laugh at me and all of those things. Yeah, they will, but who cares? We just got to put it to use. Amen? Let God use us. That's His desire. Rebuild the house. They get in disrepair. Consider the ways. And let God then take us through rebuilding that process. He wants to do that in our lives. Father, tonight, I pray that You'll take these very jumbled words tonight, somehow apply them to our hearts. We might learn to rebuild our lives. Lord, for so often we do things wrong, we sin, we go wrong direction. Lord, we do so many things. But God, that we might be able to pick back up. You have said the righteous man falls seven times and getteth up again. So God, as we get up, that we might get up with intent, and that we might rebuild once again. Lord, that we might be stronger than before. I pray that there's a need here tonight, that you might meet that need and work in that heart as we spend a few moments waiting in invitation. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.